This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 nine-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, episode 204. Keep on racing. I serve as your humble and oh so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Purple Pants Podcast. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever it is that you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to subscribe, write a review, and give your baby boy some 5 stars. What is the tea, Purple Pants Posse? How has everyone been doing? I hope that you are doing well. I hope that this podcast finds you in high spirits. And if it does not, I can guarantee that after you are done listening to this podcast, you will for sure be in a better spirit. Whew, listen, Purple Pants Posse. Your baby boy is a little stressed out. So listen, you know where I go. I go to my posse to just, you know, let y'all know how your baby boy is doing. First order of business, shout out to Philadelphia, who came on out last Wednesday for Bryce and Wynn Presents the Homecoming. Okay, it was definitely an epic time. It was just so much love filled in the air. It was just great to see all of our Philly people. And you know, I was on Survivor Kagiyan a time or two ago. And, you know, even before there was a Bryce and Wynn Present, I used to throw little, you know, watch parties here and there. And it's just so crazy to me that when we pull up to Philly and we're at this our event, and to be able to see the people that have supported me from way back when. Shout out to Dr. Amanda. Shout out to Michelle and Jake. Like, you know, just people that, like, it's just crazy. And that's what it's about, cultivating these relationships. And so, like, just Bryce and Wynn Present Philadelphia was truly amazing. Epic. And you know, when DZ and I had been on this streak of our watch parties where, like, you know what, oh my god, we have not had a fight, because, you know, listen, me and Wynn DZ fight about every other day, okay? That's just the truth. But you know, we're brothers, and that's what brothers do. And so we almost made it through the Philadelphia event without getting into a little argument. And child, we got into an argument when DZ trying to Irish goodbye. I'm running outside. And like, yeah, the argument ensues. But of course, you know, the next day we're like, are you mad? I'm not mad. Okay, we can talk about it. But listen, real friends go through your ups and downs. And so shout out to Win DZ for always putting up with your baby boy, because at times I can be a lot, but my heart is in the right place. And you know, I'm on a roll to a better price. And literally that day after we set up our for the event, I was like, oh my God, we on a three party streak. I'm on FaceTime with DZ and I'm like, oh, you're not celebrating this? He was like, the Philadelphia event hasn't happened. It's not done yet. Let's wait till the end of the night. And I was like, well, what's the point? Well, child, we waited to the end of the night and Spicy Brycey came out. So apologize, you know, to my Win DZ. That's my brother. But I am definitely in high spirits, but your baby boy is stressed out. I am currently sitting in a pile of clothes in my podcasting room because I am packing. I'm going on a vacation. I'm trying to practice what I preach, and that is self-care. And you know, sometimes you got to do things nice for yourself. However, I don't know about you, Purple Pants Posse, but I am a overpacker. Okay, just I can go somewhere for 2 days and I will bring 13 bags because I really do feel like it's about options. You know, when you go on a trip, you need a day outfit, you need a afternoon outfit, you need a nighttime outfit, and then you need a outfit in case something happens to an outfit, you know. So it's like, you know, I normally bring 3-4 outfits for a day, and then I get on the trip and I only wear 2 of the outfits, then I just start recycling the outfits, and then it's like, okay, well, I am actively trying not to wear the outfits that I brought because I want to bring them back to Philly and have new outfits. So I am trying to pack responsibly. You know, I'm going international. You know, I'm going to Italy. Hello. And I really just want to bring a carry-on bag. I really want to give an athletic type of look, you know, just in my athletic gear the whole time. And I can switch them out. However, I'm just telling y'all what I'm going through right now because your baby boy is stressed. So planned this trip months ago. And, you know, a couple, I would say at the beginning of September, I was like, ooh, let me go online. Let me order me some sweatsuits, you know, some, you know, easy peasy, you know, nothing too crazy. But I could order myself 4 sweatsuits. And between those 4 sweatsuits, I could like interchange them. And, you know, because I'm going at the end of October into November, it'll be cold. So all good and dandy. I also am one of those people that order things. They come in and I put them in a pile. I don't even open them. I don't look at them. And so before I'm recording this podcast, I'm like, let me be proactive. Let me get my stuff out. So I open the packages that I've ordered months ago. And don't get me wrong, the sweatsuits, the little outfits, they're cute, but they just like thick, you know, keep me warm. And I am texting my mom. Barb calls me. She's like, give me your flight information. What's your hotel? I'm like, okay, girl, I'm gonna give you all of that. And then she also now, although she might stress me out, she sent me a screenshot of the weather to where I'm going. And the weather where I'm going, it's giving 85 degrees. It's giving, what are you bringing sweatsuits for? So now I was trying to keep it so simple and so easy. Now I have a smorgasbord of clothes in front of me and on me. I'm wearing them and I'm wearing some right now to try to like see if it's still fit, but it's just giving a lot. But I'm going to get it together, and I just can't wait until I get on that plane, because when you get on the plane, you could just let it go, because whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. But until then, I am just, you know, stressing out, trying to ensure I can feed the posse. I provide my posse with some podcasts while I am gone. But that's just what's on your baby boy's mind right now. So, you know, in this upcoming week, make sure you head over to your Bryce Isaiah Instagram, because, you know, I'll be posting up on my stories all crazy. However, I am really excited for this week's episode. We've got a great episode for you. So let me give you the rundown. You know, we've got our church announcements and the winner of Amazing Race Season 29, my partner in crime, my pit stop breaker downer, Brooke Kamhi, and I are breaking down episode 5 of season 34 of Amazing Race. And because I just love the winners of this week's challenge, Team Miami, Lewis and Michelle, Brooke and I share with you guys a, you know, a preseason interview that we had with Lewis and Michelle. So, you know, got that for the posse. And we've got the freak of the week. So listen, while I start folding and packing and making these decisions on what I'm going to wear on my trip, let's get into these church announcements. And for this week's church announcements, we are still high off of our Bryce and Wynn Presents from Philadelphia, and our next stop is Boston. You can catch us in Boston, Massachusetts, November 9th, and we just released the confirmed list of some of our amazing friends that are coming. And if you know, you know, you definitely do not want to miss our Boston event. And I just have to say shout out to Boston, because for the past year and a half, Boston has been saying, come to Boston, come to Boston. And let's just say, and I've been saying, the tickets are practically sold out. So we see you, Boston. We appreciate your support so much. And so I cannot wait to get to Boston. You know, after Boston, we will be in D.C. After DC, we are headed to LA for the finale. And you know, I said it once, I'm going to say it again. The only finale party that you need to be at is the Bryce and Wynn Presents. So please click the link in my Instagram bio, Wendell's Instagram bio, or head over to the Bryce and Wynn Present Instagram page. And you know, we're on Twitter at Bryce and Wynn, and click the link. And yes, we will see you either in Boston, either in DC, or either in LA.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
And we are back this week with your Amazing Race Pit Stop with the winner of season 29, Brooke Kamhi, and myself, Bryce Isaiah. We are here on the Purple Pants Podcast, breaking down Amazing Race season 34, episode 5. Brookie Poo, how are you?
I'm good. This has been, it's been a week, but it was a great episode. I'm very excited. I'm going to say it up front. I don't have anything bad to say.
Oh.
That's probably not true.
I mean, it was fun.
We'll find something.
The lie detector determined that was a lie. But I enjoyed this leg of the race. I felt like it was entertaining. I did have some questions, but I mean, we'll get there when we get there. But again, like my first question off the bat was like, you know, they have this like charter jet, right?
Yeah.
And in old school Amazing Race, like I remember there, like you would be on plane one
right.
or plane two. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Like
sometimes
if
you're on plane three.
Uh-huh. Or right. Or plane three. If you were on plane one, right, and you land and say we're going to like Brooklyn, we land in Brooklyn, like you don't as soon as you land, start the race again. Like you would go in, check into a hotel, and then the next day you would just like
The only thing you would have to do is clear customs. So if you were coming from another country, you would clear customs, but when the leg starts, the hotels are at the end. So when the leg starts, occasionally they will hold everybody together and clear customs together and start the race all at the same time. But when you land, you go, your plane is off and you go. So if there are three teams on plane one, when they land, those three teams are clearing customs and they're off. The charter thing is a little, it's not going to say anything bad. I don't like it but I understand it. Like, it's not like a decision they've made that I don't like the decision. It's a decision they've made in order for us to be able to have the Amazing Race right now. So
right.
I do like it because I like that the show is happening. And unless they can get more than one charter plane, which, okay, then this is the way it's going to be, right?
Right. So it reminds me of Survivor with going from the 39 to the 26 days. I feel like it's just the evolution of the game, which I feel like in Amazing Race, in my opinion, as a watcher, because you know, I only really seen just my third consecutive season watching the Amazing Race. The thing that I can say regarding this leg of it is that like, I like the finishes are a lot closer than what I've ever seen. And I enjoy when someone's on the mat and you can literally someone pulling up to the mat. Like, I love that. I hate it with the editing and they're like, "Ooh, who's it gonna be?" And
then like, suddenly it's dark and the next right. team shows up. Like, you can't change, you know, time. So right. I agree with you completely. The charter flight makes it so that all of the teams are much closer because, you know, it would happen where you'd have one or two or three flights. And if a flight got delayed or something, things would be much closer. But you're now seeing nine teams this week, all starting basically at the same time and being much closer than, you know, two or three teams or three or four teams that happen to be on the same flight. So as much as I don't love the fact that they're all flying together and there is no airport drama of who's on what flight and so on and so forth, it's cool to see more teams together at the same time. So I do like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, sometimes at the airport, some teams could use it to rest. Other teams could use it to try to figure out where they're going. And yeah,
if you're not using it to study, then what are you doing on the Amazing Race? You use that airport time to go to an internet cafe to find out anything and everything you can about where you're going next and where you might be going and tricks and secrets. And if you're sleeping at the airport, do it differently. You're not going to win.
Okay, well, you heard it first from the winner of season 29, Miss I Can't, But She Can, Brooke Campbell.
Thanks for that. Okay, that is true. I can't, but I did. Okay, so this episode, I think my favorite thing about the episode was just the backdrop. They've never been to Jordan. They went to Petra, which is so on my bucket list of places to see. And just from the beginning, they're on this steam train with this scene from Lawrence of Arabia that's happening. They're like in a movie. They're in Indiana Jones. Phil's got the Indiana Jones hat. They have just one of the coolest settings I've ever seen on The Amazing Race. And so even if the tasks had sucked, which they didn't really suck, but even if they had, I don't think I would have been bothered because the landscape was just so ridiculous. What?
Absolutely amazing. The landscape of it all was really great. I'm trying to pull up these pictures, but my computer is saying no. But you can go ahead. Yeah.
We'll talk more. So they get to the charter plane. Phil announces that they're going to Jordan, where they have like less than 3 days of rain a year. It's like 80% sand. It's 100,000 archaeological sites in Jordan. That's crazy to me. And they're going to the Wadi Rum Desert. And when they get there, all the teams get on this like old school steam engine train thing in, I'm guessing, I think it was like 96 degree weather or something just absurd. Mm. And they get to watch this amazing scene where all these people come on camels and horseback with swords. And I was actually, this is one of the few times where I've seen a season after mine where I've been jealous of where they are, because it just, I wish that I had been there. It was very, very cool. So what I start doing immediately, because I'm a lunatic, is I start counting the horses and counting the camels, because I'm like, this is a task. They're going to be asked how, like, it's going to be some sort of memory. It wasn't, like, I was just counting for no reason. But that's where my brain goes. And I'm like, how is nobody counting what's going on? Like, pay attention to detail. You're going to have a test. They didn't have a test. It was just
my,
a scene, right?
My brain was going to the mans on the horses with the swords. I was saying, come take me off this train. I will camelback ride into the Jordan Desert with you. I was just looking at all of the zaddies with the swords coming in. I said, okay, there's a zaddy. There's a zaddy. There's a zaddy. Ooh, he got a sword. Ooh, come kidnap me. But I mean,
I counted the horses. You counted the zaddies. We counted different things, but together as a team, we would have counted everything.
We would have so, known, yes.
There we go. So they do start, even though they all got off the plane together, they do start in three groups, which I'm over at this point. It's fine. It's how it's going to be. So you have group one, you have Emily and Molly and Marcus and Michael, who have been teetering back and forth for first place. And I got to say, Emily and Molly, I've said it before, I think it's their race to lose. They are pretty much good, not both of them good at everything, but they have yet to find something that one of them can't conquer. So they are the team that I most underestimated on day one.
I will agree. I didn't know how they would do just given their relationship and like not knowing each other, not knowing their strengths. So I love to see them flourish. But I also have to say, I think Marcus and Michael, like, I really like them. For me, they remind me a lot of Wendell and myself. I feel like after every one of like Wendell and I's events, we always have a conversation of like what we liked, what we didn't like, how we could do it better. And, you know, Marcus and Michael call it CAR.
Yeah. Complacent, adversity, and resilience.
And resilience.
Yeah.
So I love that. But I also feel like I know enough about the Amazing Race editors. Yeah. That I felt like that was foreshadowing that they not going to be a number one this episode, because I was just like, now why y'all going to give them now? If this was towards the end and they were doing it, I felt like, okay, that would have been a good indication that they were going to do well this late, but not that they didn't do bad, but I just like seeing their determination. And I love the fact that like Marcus is the older brother, Michael's the younger brother. They have like is it an 18 year difference?
I think like, it's eight or nine. Yeah.
My bad, Marcus. You don't look.
You call one of them real old.
But they have enough of a difference where like they didn't go to high school together. They didn't like, you know what I mean? Like, so, and they're in the military. So I really do like Marcus and Michael, but I think, I mean, I love all of the teams, but you know, my favorite, first of all, my favorite team happens to be in the second group. And
yes, I know this.
Sadly that Rich and Dom are out. So we don't have this positive energy. We don't have the mantras anymore. But I felt like, although Rich and Dom were out this episode, I felt like their spirit was there, because my favorite team, Lewis and Michelle, okay, Team Miami, they were so positive. And then they were like, you know, we were the night before. We were like envisioning ourselves jumping.
Yeah, they did. They really did. They like, they channeled Rich and Dom. They had this like vision board session in their hotel room the night before. I didn't even think about that. They did.
So, you know, Rich and Dom are still with us. But again, I just love their energy. And yeah, I was like just hyped to see them off and into the races.
I will say, with Marcus and Michael, I'm going to call it now, I'm getting strong fourth place vibes. Whoa. I feel like they're going to fall just short of the finale. I find that historically, not always, but a good amount of the time, very strong male-male teams make it right before the finale. Mm. So I'm going to call them.
Are they given? And so it's crazy that you say that, because I thought of Dusty and Ryan this episode because it reminded me of last season, season 33, when they were that mystical lady. Oh, and they had to find the gold coins all around the place. But okay, I'll let you narrate. Sorry. But you know, I thought of Rich and Dusty and I felt like Rich and Dusty were fourth. Didn't it come fourth last season? Because they didn't make it to the end. They were like right before the end.
No, they made it. They made it to three. Remember at the last episode, they couldn't find the elevator thing. It took them forever.
Oh, that's right. The elevator.
But they were like sort of out of it at the end. They were like just, they were three.
So they were third. They were third.
Right. So anyway, so group two, we have Lewis and Michelle. Take the bow. We love them. We have Quentin and Maddie. Also love them. And we have Abby and Will, who I have to say are growing on me. I know. Meh. Like, you did ding the bell for them. I appreciate that. They are growing on me. Not as much as the others, but I'm getting into them.
I mean, no, I love the high school sweetheart. My thing is that we just don't see enough of them.
Right. And that's not their fault, though.
But I don't like, I wonder, is it that and this is a compliment to them, maybe they are just in the game so much that they're not really giving good confessionals or like that. Like, I don't know, but we just don't see a lot of them.
Yeah, that's fair. I started thinking, are they just not interesting? Like, there's nothing for them to use? I don't know. But they're doing just fine.
They are.
You know what? Keep doing what you're doing.
And mind you, they could be our winners. Right.
There have been winners who have been sort of invisible throughout the season. So it is possible. And I feel like if they do win, Abby's head will just legitimately explode. She's a huge fan like I am. So good for her. And then in the last group, we have Derek and Claire, Aubrey and David, who also a little bit invisible, less so this week, Glenda and Lumumba, and Linton and Sharik, who I have to say, she got a good night's sleep, I feel like, at the beginning. And I see your face. I know. I'm trying to be positive because I love him so much that
I love Linton and Sharik. I feel like Sharik could be my friend in the game, outside the gang. Yeah. But if you my friend, I'm still going to cuss you out. And so I got to cuss out for Sharik this episode, but it's a cuss out with love, but we'll get there when we get there.
Okay, so all the teams have to choose a driver to drive them through the desert to their next clue, which is the roadblock. And the roadblock says who wants to test their mettle. Now, I have a horrible flashback to a roadblock that I did that said who's into heavy metal, where I was told, baby, it's a music challenge, you should do it. And I had to try and make a ladle with a spoon. And everything with metal freaks me out because I think it's going to be some sort of like workshoppy, if you don't have grip strength, you're screwed. That wasn't this. This was much easier. This was search like a crash site in the desert with a metal detector and find your clue. A lot of the teams did this really quickly, with the exception of a few teams who just couldn't take the hint and were searched. All of the clues seemed to be in the middle of the section, like Emily and Molly. Oh, first of all, I think it's Molly hurts her leg. And even with a hurt leg, she is, because running through, I mean, you know, you're a runner. Running through sand on a hurt leg has got to be one of the most difficult things that you can do. And she is just powering through the pain. So good on them. I really like them.
Yes, she was keeping it moving. Although she's like, listen, I never hurt this part of my leg before. I don't know what's going on, but...
but she keeps moving.
I'm keeping it moving.
So when they get to this roadblock, Marcus does it. He does one of the smartest things that I can think of. He starts marking his like foot with his footprints where he's been so that he doesn't go over the same spot twice. Because in the desert, everything looks exactly the same. So he's doing it like concentric. I don't think he's in circles, but he's doing it in a way that he knows where he's been. Molly has a little bit of trouble. She's never used a metal detector, but they come in first and second. They leave in first and second. It's in the middle. They're paying attention. They know where they've been. And then Abby shows up. She's struggling. She stays calm. They lose. They have like a 15-minute lead, which they kind of lose. But she doesn't let it get to her. I think I would probably let it get to me a little bit, but she doesn't let it get to her. And then you have everyone, just a lot of people show up at the same time. You have Quentin does it, Lewis does it, Derek does it, David does. Oh, I'm sorry, it was Abby, not Aubrey. It was David does it. And then you have Lumumba and Linton, who get there last and are just not paying a lot of attention. So Quinton finds it in 2 seconds. He's in and out in third. Lewis is working. He's the one in concentric circles. He handles the sand like he handled the ice. The way he dug through that sand.
First of all, I was just confused as to why every 2 seconds Lewis's thing was going off. It was like, beep, 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 beep. Like, what, like, where are you at? But Lewis a couple of times thought he had it. He was in that sand. I was like, I'm so happy good that Lewis did it. And yeah, baby boy wasn't playing. Boom, they got it and they were on. But by far, my favorite person in this sand.
Lumumba?
Was Derek X.
Oh, okay. Oh my God, he sprinted.
Derek
good
X,
for him.
He did it how I think that I would have done it. Like, I'm not walking around. Yeah. I'm going to run. And like, cause you cover the fastest, like, place with that. Like, so yeah, Derek X killed it. Although he took an L. Okay, we fall down, but get up. And like, yeah, he was all over the place. And I'm like, yes. Like, I just love Derek. I love the way that Derek X and Claire approach this game. They approach it from a strategic-based approach. They look at everything like and what is in their wheelhouse, what they could do good at. So like, I was loving the fact that he actually like was running.
Yeah, he said, you know, we're not going to be the fastest, but we're going to be the smartest. Like, we, there's a trick to everything. And he was absolutely right. Like, run. If it doesn't work, okay, you ran for 1 minute and whatever, you're behind, but it does work. He finds it like immediately and they are out of there. And then you have David, because I said Aubrey before I met Abby. And then you have David, who stays on the outside. For some reason, he refuses to go to the middle, which takes him entirely too long. And then he's
arguing with the judges. He's like, no, but this is metal.
You said metal. I found metal. They're like, just no. It's no. No. I'm pretty sure that he kept picking up on the big metal pieces that were around the edges of the thing that had nothing to do with the judge.
To his defense, though, like, if I would have got there, I would have for sure, like, I would have thought there's no way that there are not stuff on the perimeter. So I, like, to his defense, I feel like I would have been working the perimeter. Now, I don't know if it was editing and they were, like, rewinding it back. But, like, Aubrey was, like, he keeps going in the same place. And, like, we see him, like, circling the thing. I'm like, oh, my God, David, what is you doing?
What I would have liked is, remember, we were just talking about the gold coin thing from last year and how they showed us where the coins were located and not, obviously not the teams. I would have liked to have seen, especially with these last two or three teams that were there, where the clues were and how far away they were from them. But I don't know if there was a way for them to show us that. You have Lumumba, who they make it look like he was searching for a really long time. He finds a soda can. He finds a beer can. Right? He actually, at some point, tells Glenda to just chill out because she's getting on him a little bit. And he's like, you need to stop. But he's taking anything and everything he can find. Now, I also, if I hadn't seen anybody else get the clue, would have taken anything and everything I found to the judges. But I thought it was pretty funny that this is what he was finding. But they get out of there in eighth. And then you have Linton, who was there forever, but who doesn't get impatient. Sharik gets impatient, but he doesn't get impatient. He will not give up. I love this man. Like, I just love his whole attitude.
Yeah. Now, mind you, I love you, girl, Sharik, but girl.
Yeah.
When you was doing the sculpting, was your dad back there like, oh, she's getting like, she's doing it wrong. What is she doing? She needs to hurry up. Like, no, he was just like, come on, Sharik, you could do it, baby girl. You got it. Like, she was pissing me off a little bit. Okay. Now, mind you, I was trying to give her grace because last week, you damn near quit. Phil said, do you want to continue? You said, it doesn't matter.
I'll do it for you. Right?
I'll do it for you. Then you get here. Then, you know, you're not even like, you know, now I would have been a little ticked off too, like with the dad in the perimeter. But like, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking, when you're on the sideline, when your dad is in the heat, in the sand, girl.
Yeah, he's like the significantly older than everybody else. And like, he's doing it and he's not complaining. He's tired. He's not complaining. He's hot. I think she at one point, I might be wrong, was all, I should have done this one. And I'm sitting here going, you never say you should do anything. You never want to do any of them. And so, yeah, you should have done this one. If you're going to sit there and complain and that complain. He's not doing it, he's in like 100-degree heat. Cut the man some slack. He is maybe the most positive. He gives Dom a run for her money with positivity, not with the mantras, but he is just so calm and positive.
I agree. Now, mind you, I do get with Shariq, like, because if that was Barb out there, I probably would be like, what are you doing? So I do give her grace, but I really wish Dom was here, because I really wish Dom would have came and held Shariq's hand.
Right.
And like, we're going to send your dad some positive energy, Shariq. Like, I really wish, like, of all the episodes, I'm like, where is my girl Dom? We talked so much about her mantra. Right. And now it's like our first episode without her. And we need her energy.
I wonder how Shariq would have responded to Dom being like, girl, give your dad some love. I feel like she would have been like, no, not for me. But I will say it has to be, it is very hard. Not it has to be. It is very hard when you are the non-participant in a roadblock and you're not allowed. She couldn't have said like, check where everyone else. You can't say anything or there's a penalty. So all you can do is cheer on your partner and that's it. So that it is very difficult to be in her position.
I agree. The one thing that I like was a little frustrated by the people in the third leg, like is it David? Like the one thing, now you know I love me some Lumumba and like David. The one thing that like somewhat irritated me a little bit was that like y'all were there when someone picked up the clue. So it's like y'all know what a clue looks like. Why are you wasting time bringing a soda can and a whatever? Like no, like that ain't it. Keep going. But I don't know. Maybe they thought there were more than one clue. But I feel like, again, I've said this time and time again, at times in Amazing Race, it doesn't pay to be the first. Sometimes it pays to let someone else go and you see what someone else is like, what they pick up. And now you know what you're looking for. Like, Lumumba data. You are not getting a clue from a crushed up beer can.
I mean, it's true. But on this one, it does pay to be first because there are nine of the clues when first.
That, you're right. Right. You're right.
Here, there's one. And poor Linton is searching for literal one needle in this sand pit. And so, yes, I hear what you're saying. On demonstration ones, yes, it might make sense to see what other people are doing and how they've done it. Here, this is like one. Like, I felt for him. I was like, oh, he's going to be here forever. So anyway, so everybody gets back in their cars. Emily and Molly's driver is spectacular because he's a speed demon and catches up to Marcus and Michael. So they have like a 90-minute drive to Petra, which so, is...
Question. Sorry, hate to interrupt you.
No,
okay,
please,
so I thought that was mind-blowing. Now, my question to you is, do you think this is more editing that like actually teams were getting it a lot faster than what it appeared to look like? Because I was like, how the hell Marcus and Michael was out. They didn't have a commercial break. I got some juice and some chips. Emily and Molly was still there. Other teams came. Then Emily and Molly left. And then all of a sudden, Emily and Molly is right. Like Emily and Molly's driver must have been like he must have been out in them Jordan deserts.
And I would have been taught if I were Marcus and Michael, I would have been like, drive faster. They're get like it's the same thing as if you had a taxi. You know, it's the luck of the draw and who you get as your driver. But it seemed like everybody, with the exception of the last three, all the top six got to Petra at the same time. Their drivers were booking it, or Marcus and Michael's driver was not. So everybody catches up. And then they have the detour of the episode, which I do not think was equal at
all. Okay, let's talk about it, Brooke. Let's talk about it. Now, I feel like I just help me understand this because, like, they supposed to be equal or like, I just felt like in what world would it benefit someone to do the camel in the water?
Yeah. So they are supposed to be, you know, pretty much equal, but you know, if you're two very, very big, strong men, maybe you can do the camel faster than you, and you don't know how to solve a slide puzzle. And which by the way, it was like a 4x3 slide. It was not a difficult slide puzzle. So if you had learned how to do a slide puzzle, which I will say thumbs up to Lewis and Michelle because I know for a fact that he has this app on his phone. He's when there was season a couple before mine, where the first episode in Brazil, I think it was a detour. You could either play volleyball or do a slide puzzle. Now, me, Rubik's Cube, slide puzzles, I'm a nerd. I know how to do these things. I have an app on my phone. I just like that stuff. I was like, slide puzzle, amazing. If you plan on going on the Amazing Race and there are things that you don't know how to do, swimming, driving a stick shift, learning to do a puzzle like this, like it shows up every so often. And Lewis was ready and prepared. And I give them like all the snaps because they, I know that they had seen the other season and had immediately downloaded a slide puzzle app so that if it comes up, and it did, they could do it. So yes, I guess if you've never seen one, you could be stuck there for a very long time. And if the the camel one was very straightforward, it was just very physically demanding. So this slide puzzle, I think people, you could sort of luck into it kind of easily. I think there were a couple of teams that did luck into it. So they are supposed to be like pretty equal.
Somewhat equal,
this
right.
Did not seem pretty equal.
And I felt like from looking at the puzzle, it seemed like Aubrey and David. Like, yeah. It seemed like they had got it right at the end. It just was like backwards. Like, you know, right. So it seemed like it was a little flipped. So, but yeah, there was just no way. And then if I were, now tell me if they would allow this. If I were Marcus and Michael, and one, I don't see why we can only bring, so they said the setup had to be the same. I would have snatched me another little bucket of water when I was walking by. So, okay, so you can't do that.
Three buckets of water, and that's it. I think they should have allowed more.
What if they took their shirt off and put the shirt in the water?
I don't see why not. And squeezed out their shirt. I mean, they probably would have gotten stopped because it said use the three buckets of water, and they should have tried it, but it didn't. I mean, if they had used their shirt and tried to wring it out, they probably would have gotten no, because it said use the three buckets of water to fill the thing. And if you're using something else, you're probably breaking the rules. So, but I do like how you're thinking outside the box, because it's about playing smart, and that is smart. And what else? Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm.
If the water didn't look like how it looked, I would have put some in my mouth and spit it out as well. Listen, every little drop counts.
That's funny. The other smart thing that happened is Glenda and Lumumba switched. They saw it. They switched. They went right to the puzzle. The one thing about the puzzle that I think people didn't realize, or at least Aubrey and David didn't realize, is there should be an example somewhere. If you don't know how to solve, if you don't know where this, like, there should be an example to show you the end. It was right in front of you. It was like the actual like stones in front of you. They didn't realize that, which is why they were solving it upside down. But I will say, when Linton and Shariq decided to do the camels, heart broke. I was like, this is it for them. This is it. Because even though they didn't stop and they did it well, it just took so much longer than it took everybody to do
and
the
Aubrey
puzzle.
And David were still at the puzzle when they got there.
That's my other feeling. If you are at a detour and it's the end of a leg and you see a team on one side, unless the other side is something that's so in your wheelhouse that you know you could do really, really quickly, I think personally I would go to the side where there is another team and see if you can't do it faster than them, because they were struggling. And the camel one took a very, very long time.
And if you see a team struggling, right, I would think that your presence alone, just the fact that you are like the last team, like it would give them anxiety. But another thing to Shariq was they get to the super physical challenge and like I feel like she not really complaining, like she out here doing it. I was like, Shariq.
She was out there doing it, especially considering how hot it was. I'm really surprised they went to that side. Maybe they just hate puzzles. I don't know. So anyway, Lewis and Michelle get out of there first. They know how to solve a slide puzzle. Like, good for you guys. Then you have Derek and Claire. She says she's good at a slide puzzle. She wasn't doing it right, but also they luck into it. So that's cool. Luck counts, and that's great. They get out of there second. And then Marcus and Michael, who do the other side, they must have had quite a lead. Like, that side seemed like it took forever. They definitely chose the wrong option, but they got out of there third. And then you have Abby and Will, who get it very quickly. And Emily and Molly, who get lost finding the puzzle. When they finally find the puzzle, they do just fine. And then you have Quentin and Maddie. I wrote down, they luck into it. Did no one study how to do a slide puzzle? But it's fine. Luck counts. And then Glenda and Lumumba get it very fast.
Yes.
And then Aubrey and David are left struggling, doing it upside down, not seeing the example. And then while they're doing that, you have Linton and Sharique. And I'm writing, God, they should swap to the other side. Like, they're so lucky Aubrey and David are struggling. Like, it's not going to be enough because the camel one takes so long.
Right.
At this point, I kind of want them to stay just for, I like Sharique, but just for Linton alone, because he, you know, in your 50s, not the 50s is old, because it's not, coming from someone in their 40s, but to knowing what they went through that day and running through the sand, and he did the roadblock and they're doing the super physical detour, and he is just nailing it. And he has this like nonstop, like Energizer Bunny attitude, and she's doing it too. Like, at one point though, he's like, how many bags of hay do we need? And she's like, three. And he's like, let's just take four in case. Very smart, because they actually needed four. She's getting distracted by these super cute puppies that are near the detour. I also would have been distracted by the super cute puppies. Probably would have tried to take one home. And then notes. And then that's it. Everybody runs the pit stop at this great temple, which is one of the most incredible things I've maybe ever seen. And I have to go there. And I know you're going to be happy. First place, Team Lewis and Michelle, who gets $5,000 to enjoy. And they just inch out.
Team Miami!
Yes. Love how happy you are.
They just inch out Claire and Derek. And Claire take a nasty tumble. Now, mind you, I be observant. And so, observant, yeah. When Derek and Claire were doing a confessional about the slide, the way that Claire was positioned, I was like, oh my God, why her leg bloody? And then when they were doing the slide, I didn't see that, like, her leg wasn't bloody. Like, I'd be watching stuff like that. And so then I was like, I wonder when, like, that happens. But we clearly see her fall, but, like, got right back up, and they were right there. But I just had to say, you know, every episode of Amazing Race, I don't know what it is, because I don't go into it looking to get emotional. But I really will say, Lewis and Michelle really had me emotional this episode, really talking about how, like, they want to have kids. And before they have kids, they want to, like, do this super challenging thing for themselves, and, you know, them seeing themselves in first place. Then they come in first place. Listen, let me be the first to say, Lewis and Michelle, okay, Godfather Bryce is right here if you need me. But I just, you know me, I love Team Miami. I love Lewis. And also, it was funny because I think when Lewis was shoveling the shovel, Michelle was like, oh my God, it's so hot to see my husband shoveling. I said, girl, you ain't wrong. Keep it up, Lewis. Keep it up.
Okay. I really like her attitude too, like, because she could have been annoyed that he didn't get it super, super fast, but she was just all, my man is cute. Like, I like their relationship. I like their dynamic. They're super supportive of each other. They've never been first before, and they never seem to get down on each other, even if they're toward the back or struggling a little bit. So I like them. And then you have Derek and Claire, Marcus and Michael are third. They're not happy about third, but it's fine. It's third is good, guys. Like,
you're still in the top three. You're still in the top three.
What's going on? Yeah. Then you have Abby and Will, Emily and Molly, Quentin and Maddie, Glenda and Lumumba get themselves up to seven. Okay. And then Aubrey and David get lost, but it's not going to be enough. So they get there in eighth. Good for them. I'm starting to like them too. They're getting a little bit more screen time. We're starting to know a little bit more about them. And then bringing up the rear, Linton and Sharique. I have to say, this also gets me. He's so proud of her. She's his princess. Like, he just makes me cry. Like, father-daughter team always makes me emotional, but there's something about this father that was just so proud of his daughter, like, not giving up, even though, no, she didn't give up. Not giving up. There's been some, like, talk on the interwebs about the fact that, like, he went to give her a hug and she didn't hug him.
Oh, no,
it was like 1,000 degrees. Like, give me a break. It's just hot. Like, she loves her dad. They love each other. They go off. They had a great adventure together. They did what they could. They lasted as long as they could. I would have been happy to see them last a bit longer, but I think they had a good story, and their race has come to an end.
It's come to an end. But listen, they made it to five legs. That's something to be proud of. And as hard as I am on Sharique, I think the thing that I appreciate the most about her is that Everybody want to be happy. Everybody want to be like, like, listen, that ain't the truth sometimes. Sometimes you do just want to go home. Sometimes you like, sometimes that's the energy that I give in things. And so like there was a part of me that's like, I appreciate her. She's being very, very real. So we get it. But listen, they made it to 5 legs. So listen, kudos to them. We are sad to see you go. I think they played an amazing
they played an amazing,
amazing race. Now, perfect. I have a question, and I didn't even mean to do that. No pun intended. So is it safe to say that, like, is this season 10 episodes? Do we know? Is it historically 10 episodes? Is it 12? Do we know?
It's 12. It's historically 12 episodes. It's going to be at least 11 because you have one mega leg, and I think you'll have a keep on raising leg. I think it'll be a normal 12 episode season. You started with an extra team this time, which it normally starts with 11. So I think you will have a mega leg and a keep racing leg, and that will get you to the 12, no problem. I will also say that I was a little hard on Sharik as I watched it from my temperature-controlled living room, like in the middle of New York City with a beverage in my hand. Like, everyone needs to back off because this was one of the more difficult legs I've ever seen, if for only the temperature and the sand. And I'd like to see everybody else try and do it because I know I would have been like, I can't do it. I can't. I mean, as I did it, but I can't. People are much. Everyone else was very like happy and she was very real. So thumbs up, Sharik, you be you, and good job for all that you did. So
right.
Proud of both of them.
Now I have a question. So we're not technically, if it's 12, we got one more episode to get to the halfway point. But I don't know if it's too early to call, but I feel like I can see at least the top 5 teams or top
call
4
it.
Teams. I feel like, well, mind you know I'm biased, so it's going to be...
Lewis and Michelle.
Because, like, you know, like, again, they've only continued to get better. I definitely could see Marcus and Michael are in my top 5. I definitely see Derek and Claire. I definitely see Emily and Molly. And I have a toss-up between, like, Abby and David.
Abby and Will.
And,
Glenda, Aubrey and David.
No, the dancers.
Aubrey and David.
Aubrey and David and the cheerleaders. Quentin and Maddie.
Maddie.
So, like, they for me are like the straw. Like, I don't know. I just see like now, not nothing. Like, you know, I love me my Lumumba and Glenda, but I don't know. Like, due to the editing, I don't know.
I'm with you. I will say, I know you don't watch the previews for next week.
Yes.
But it does look like somebody tests positive for COVID. So I think, I don't know if that means that somebody goes home without getting to run any further, but one of these strong teams, doesn't matter if they're strong, if they test positive for COVID, that might be it.
Here's another question that I noticed. I wonder if the COVID rates in Jordan were higher, because this season we definitely saw, or this leg, we definitely saw a lot of people with their mask on. Or it could have been because they was in a desert in the sand. I don't know. But I definitely noticed a lot more people when they were in their cars had their mask on.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think they were told personal preference during the race. So maybe it was that it was windy and sand was blowing in their face and the mask is actually helpful for that purpose. But I'm curious to see if someone, it makes me sad because if you get removed from the race by no fault of your own, that seems kind of like just sucky, but we'll see who it is. And we'll see. It does make sense because there are 8 teams left and we have episodes 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 7 episodes left. I mean, it makes sense to me if somebody has to go home, but I do agree with your top 5. I would see Lewis and Michelle, Derek and Claire, Marcus and Michael, Emily, Molly. I would say Quentin and Maddie, although Abby and Will is kind of a toss up. But I do think Aubrey and David, Glenda and Lumumba, their time is coming. And, you know, prove me wrong. I might be wrong. I don't know.
Prove me wrong. Well, I mean, listen, but we love them all. But I'm just saying, I'm just going by their. My reasoning for that is that it seems that One, the top three continues to stay the same. And we know from last season that that was a huge indicator of who will win. And also, there have been teams that have been steadily getting better. And then there have other teams that kind of have just been like staying in that like back end of it. So that's just the reason for my ratings, but not because I love them all. If they all could win, I would want them to win.
I mean, you love some more than others.
I mean, I do love some more than others. But I mean, at the end of the day, I love them all. But again, I'm so excited we get to talk Amazing Race. Yeah. This has been your pit stop with Brooke and Bryce covering episode 5. We will not be back next week. Unfortunately, I got to go on my own little mega leg myself. So you can catch us the following week and we'll break down episode 6 and 7 for you. Yeah. So listen, this has been so much fun. Brookie Poo.
Thank you for having me.
This has been your Amazing Race.
And stop. Bye.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh, how so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Keeping the menu rolling. Keeping the menu rolling. Keeping the menu rolling. Keeping it rolling.
And yes, continuing our Amazing Race season 34 coverage. Of course, if I'm talking Amazing Race, I can't do without my partner in crime. The winner of Amazing Race season 29, Brooke Kamhi, is here to help me talk with Team Miami. We got Lewis and Michelle in the building. Welcome to the Purple Love Pants it. Podcast.
That is an energy. I'm a fan of the energy.
This is our first interview of the season.
It is.
Oh.
Bryce, you popped our cherry.
Oh, Bryce, you better be good.
Our cherry's purple.
Yes. Lewis was actually so happy the moment they asked. And since it was you as well, after he heard you talking about the ice thing, he was like, this has to be my first interview.
Yes. And you know what's crazy is, so after, obviously, we became friends with Derek and Claire. And we asked Claire, like, what's a good Survivor season? Because we never seen Survivor. She says season 28. So we started watching season 28. I like it. I loved it because you also have David Sampson. Yes. He's the president of the Marlins. And I'm like, this is great. And then you were on it. You didn't last too long. But we loved you, man. We were rooting for you. So it's what a coincidence, man. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
I appreciate that so much. And I guess I had a question, but now listen, I got to move where how the interview flows. Yes. Lewis, I need to know, what did the ice do to you? Like, I mean, what? Like, I just got to know, because the way did you have past history with the ice? Did you know the ice from back home? Like, what did that ice do to you? Please.
I blacked out. I don't remember. Honestly, like, I just picked the heaviest tool in the toolbox, and all of a sudden I had the clue in my hand.
Yeah. I legitimately feel like you would make an excellent serial killer. Like, you would be a great axe murderer. I've never seen anything like this. Yes. I'm a ham.
Yeah, right.
You might see me on a Netflix documentary pretty soon.
Listen, Michelle, blink twice if you okay.
So when I got there, I was like, there's a roadblock. I have some time. I opened up my map, and then all of a sudden I hear brah, brah. And that wasn't Molly was there. That noise was not coming out of Molly. So I turn around and I'm like, wait, that's Lewis. And I'm like, that's Molly. Yeah. Oh my God.
That's mine, and I'm gonna stick beside him. Okay.
I was like, just got the clue. I don't know how you do it, but he did it so fast. I opened up my map and I closed it right away, and we left.
Nothing wrong with that. So, what did you two find to be the hardest part of the Amazing Race? Was it the constant going? Was it? I don't know if there are going to be any language barriers. Was it not speaking certain languages? Was it being around each other all the time, every day, all day? Was it the physicality? I don't think it was the physicality now that I'm asking it.
I have to say, just especially the first leg, it had to be just navigation. Mm-hmm. So much navigation. And the second leg, once again, we're going from one country over to another. And I think you'll agree on that, right?
It's like the unknown. So just doing the race for the first time and not knowing how you're going to feel or what they're going to give at you, you know, so it takes like a second to kind of adjust to that. And we practiced all of that. We learned different languages, like different words in different languages. We did everything, navigation, yeah. Stick, everything. We practiced darts, like everything that you can think of that's random, like we did. Cardio, puzzles, all of that stuff. But it is different in another city. And like, for example, in Germany, the same street, the exact same street on one side, it's called like Klomberstrabe, and the other one is Braberstrabe.
She made up those words.
They're two different.
I thought it sounded real. It sounded totally, yeah.
They're two different names. So it's like, if you're looking to the left, and the street will be to your right, even though it's the same street.
Yes.
How did you, Michelle, manage? Because, you know, I would like to think that I'm okay at maps, you know, a little normal size maps, but it seemed like those maps, like, Lewis was driving and all I could see was just the map in the back seat of the car. Like, how were you able to get that together? Because that would have took me out.
I did it.
The first day folding a map, they should course. They should make a map folding course. Yeah. I forgot who mentioned that on The Amazing Race. Was it Penn last year? They like, there should be a course of how to fold a map. Yeah. Because that's so crucial. It's like, and if you don't fold it right, it gets too wrinkled and you can't see where you're going. I think our first leg, it was not good, our map folding. But no. Second leg, she got it down.
But even navigation wasn't even that hard. In the first leg, I don't want to say that it's not that hard. It was hard. But we knew where we were going. We knew what streets we were taking. We took the wrong route in the wrong way. So you start to get traffic. You start to get one ways and you have to go around. And if you didn't take the correct pathway, because there's a lot of one ways. Navigation wasn't too hard, but it's just like the unknown. And then it's funny because Will and Abby, in the second episode, they decided to follow us. Their Germany map was in a huge ball. Do you remember that?
Gosh, yeah. Yes. So they stuck it in their book bag.
Yeah, we got directions and they were gonna follow us. And they made it seem like we were lost for hours. We were only off a street by like 2 minutes.
Yeah. They did make it seem like you were lost for a while. So it's nice, a little behind the scenes.
Yeah. The commercial break.
Get used to it.
Yeah.
And it's her thing. So I don't know. You don't get to see it before it airs. So
yes.
Listen, Brooke, we talked about this in the interview. The audio guy was like, Lewis, talk about how great your wife did navigation. Right. And he was like saying all good things. This is in the second episode. We're so excited for this episode. We went from 10th to 5th. We did good in the challenges. We did great in navigation. All my airtime is we're lost.
Girl, I hear you. They took out all my happy. So I hope for your sake, they show you're happy for however long it is that you last on the race. Because I will say, Bryce and I were talking in episode one and we're like, and I'm like, I know there are a lot of the dancers, but there wasn't a ton that stood out. I love you guys now. We saw episode two. I'm like, Team Lewis and Michelle, just your the way that you sort of like beasted through the challenge. Now, granted, you're very musical. At least Michelle is. I don't know. Lewis, maybe you also are. It's just you're a firefighter. So I don't know. I have to assume the professional dancer is musical. So these probably played to your strengths. But did you guys decide before you went, you know, who was going to do which type of roadblocks, for example, or one of you like a very adventurous eater? Is one of you a heights person. Did you guys have this? Were you ready to go? And did it play out that way?
Yeah. So physical challenges, right? She loves heights, adventurous things. You know, in our audition video, she wanted to do bungee jump this season. We'll see what happens. What else? Eating will be me. Puzzles will be her.
Memory would be me.
Memory will be her. Needle in a haystack, me. Like, we went through all types.
Anything with all hair, types. Gel, and hair, Lewis.
Shaving the head, she's going to do it. I'm not shaving my head.
Okay, wait, let's talk about this. We said that if there was, what is it called? When
I
was
fast forward.
Yes, fast forward. If they were to do a fast forward ever again, like shaving of the head, I would be like, okay, already shaving my head, and Lewis would be crying in the corner like, no, we can't do this.
So, oh, good for you.
It's funny y'all say that, because I was, you know, I watched the episodes, and you know, when Lewis came out with his the bandana, I said, now, Lewis' hair is slick back, and it's slick back, like, it's perfectly. I was like, okay. So what I wanted to know is, getting ready in the morning, who takes longer, Lewis or Michelle? Do we have our answer?
It's just that Michelle, down here in Miami, girls really get done up. So Michelle beats me by like, she takes longer, but it's like 2 minutes, you know. Well, she does it all. She does it all. But yeah, that, you know, Bryce, that's one of the hardest things about the Amazing Race that I didn't think about. I don't have a barber. Right. I get a haircut every 6 days, you know, and yeah, it was, yeah. And I'm already a week in, and the race just started.
Right.
Did you bring clippers on the race? You didn't bring your clippers on the race.
Was Michelle shaping you up?
Okay, good. Because that's a waste of time.
Q and Maddie, the cheerleaders, mm-hmm. He had his $80 face cream. He had his clippers. Every day, Lewis was like, come on, you got to help me. Let's go to the bathroom or something.
Yeah, in our first flight, I was like, man, can I borrow your clippers? But I'm like, where am I going to give myself a haircut? But yeah.
I'm not the airplane's bathrooms are for.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Hair all over the bathroom.
Basically, my item that I was like, I want to take, but it's not for the race technically, was I brought like a curling iron that was like this small.
I brought a hair straightener that was this small. Okay. It worked for 8 seconds until you were outside. You walked outside in Brazil or whatever, and then you were just like, pfft. So like there was no point in carrying it, but it felt good to have. So what I want to know is, what is the worst thing? Like, if we're doing an eating challenge from each of you for your partner, what is the one horrible thing that if they found it in their croqueta, they would not eat it?
Man, I'm trying to think about past races.
It doesn't even have to be something gross. Last season, we saw the twins wouldn't eat an onion. So is there anything in particular that it would be over? You'd be like, I'm taking a penalty. I can't eat this.
You know, that's a great question, because we are very, we're very open. Like we've traveled, for example, to Thailand, and we've tried their food over there. Like, we're very open to trying new food. I hate frogs, but I've eaten frog legs. Like, I don't mind it.
I think I would say, like, probably moving things or like if you taste feet or something. Like, give me anything. But if I'm putting a cockroach, even if it's fried, to my mouth, I'm like, but
that'd be pretty gross.
We did bring, I don't know. Okay, I was gonna say we bought photo. So Vicks Vapor Rub we brought. Right. And we're going to take it just in case here in Miami, because of our grandmothers that are Latin, we call it Vivaporu. It's like a Spanish way of saying it, because they don't know how to say Vicks Vapor. Okay. basically, so we're going to, like, if we had an eating challenge, like, put a little bit there and just. Okay.
That's an amazing tip. I brought it also in case there was something that smelled horribly. I was going to put it, but that's very smart.
Yes. We never eat. Well,
that's all right.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Maybe you used it. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you had to eat and you just beasted it without it. That's fine.
Maybe Lewis ran out a little gel. You know.
A lot of like challenges in general, you don't think of what you brought. Like, you're just going in there. You're running in there. So I don't even think we used anything. Yeah, we just ran in there and just did it.
Being from Miami and with like your background, like, was there anything that you wanted to represent while you guys were on the Amazing Race? Like, did you have this conversation? Like, you know what, we want to make like our grandmoms proud. Like, was like, what was your thought process going into that? Cause one, I love to see the diversity, and I like seeing you guys. I was like, that's my family right there. So like, what was like it for you? What do you feel like you brought on the show?
Yeah, our parents. We're doing for our parents. We are the first generation Americans in our family.
Yeah.
My sisters, her brothers, we're the first to have a high school degree, college degree in our family. We're first generation. And yeah, my parents, the stories my dad says. My mom came from Colombia when she was, I forgot what age, young. My dad came from Puerto Rico. Yes, Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens, but he came over here with nothing. And they worked in a shoe factory. You know, they sacrificed so much for us. And we said in our audition video, like, this was for them. And they're so proud to see us. Like, my mom has been crying every minute of the show so far. Yeah.
Yeah, we really wanted to repay it for them. He's Colombian Puerto Rican. I'm Colombian Peruvian. My dad as well. Same story. Came with nothing. My mom either. He came to New York solely working little jobs just to give us the opportunity. Like, we didn't have to face anything that they did. We had a comfortable life. We didn't have a rich life. We had a comfortable life. But thanks to them, we're like, if we win this prize, we want to give back to them. And we wanted to represent Latinos.
Yes.
And we said since the beginning, we want to be the first Hispanic team to win the Amazing Race.
I love that.
I don't know how you do. I make it a point to not know. But I'm rooting for you.
I am.
And I hope it comes true.
I'm
I think you're
for you.
Lovely people.
Yes,
we're trying to be like you, Brooke. Brooke champs up in here.
So y'all not trying to be like me then, Louis. Okay. All right. You know what? Michelle, you just changed to my favorite person. Okay.
Okay. Last question for me. Here's my last question. Of all the people on your season, who team or person would you most likely want to go out with for a beer? And or who would you throwing at? Like, who would you happily never see again? Should you feel like sharing that information as well?
And depending on the week.
Great question.
Michelle, it could be.
Everybody's been so great.
So we've already had a drink with Molly and Q.
Nice.
Molly, we hang out with her one time.
Yes.
And Q as well. We
yes.
had a great time. Anybody who's
yes.
coming to Miami is coming out. We're going out to win one.
Rex Ryan. Okay.
Nice.
I got Rex for sure parties. He's out in Nashville. He says he's on the Broadway, right? Broadway all the time. And Rex Ryan, that's my answer.
Okay. Well, I have a house in Boca, so I'm down in Florida a lot. So I will make the quick drive to Miami and we'll go out and party it up. I'm in New York, but we have a house in Boca. So I'm down there several months out of the year.
I'm stationed in Boca. We're from Palm Beach County. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, right there.
Bryce,
right
we're
going to
hang out.
Come hang out. Yes. And then I guess for our final question, what I want to know is, who is the better cook?
This guy.
Oh.
Okay, listen. I actually told him this today. I made up something and I was like, just letting you know, I hate to cook. And I say it all the time and he's like, but you cook so good. I'm like, I'm not saying that I don't. I know I do, but I hate it.
Start cooking worse. Make it bad so he doesn't
strategy.
Want it.
That's why you won the Amazing Race, because you know strategy, Brooke. I've been in the fire. I've been in the fire station for 13 years. So it's crazy just the difference, the different personalities and cultures you pretty much live with in a firehouse, and you cook three meals a day with these guys, and you just learn.
Yeah.
And yeah.
My dad was the cook of the house. So my mom was just laid back, laying down, waiting for him to cook. So
I was
hoping for that from him too.
Yeah, I enjoy cooking. But she doesn't want to cook, but when she does, like if I had a long day at the station, I'm working, it's amazing. I love when she cooks. So
what was your thought on when you got there and Phil said it's no elimination legs?
That was wild. And the whole time we're thinking, why is there 12 teams? Oh, here we go. That's why. We need to fill those 12 episodes somehow. And just the challenge of knowing that there's no second chances. You guys heard all the cliches. No second chances. You can't come in last. You can't mess up. But it's crazy being there, hearing it, go.
What I actually told him was like, I don't like it because it's happening to us. But truthfully, the way that I see it is if you got there last, you should go home. Like, you made the mistake. You, whatever it was that you got to the end, you should go home, even if it's us. But that's what I think.
But it's scary. Yeah. But that first leg was close.
Especially when you don't know where anybody else is. That's got to be really hard on a first leg. I was saying to Bryce, our last leg was like that in Chicago where you had to go three places, but in any order that you wanted. And we didn't know where anyone else was. So I'm saying to him, with a dozen teams, not knowing where anyone else is, or if you see someone, have they done one task or two tasks so far? Exactly. That has got to be the most nerve-wracking feeling. So I give you guys a lot of credit because it's a very hard first episode.
It was crazy. And just talking about that first leg, like we felt all right. Looking back at it, the order in which we did them in was the worst order. Yeah. Only Asta and Nina did the same order as we did.
And that worked out well for them.
Yeah, we went to roll, going from roll to back to the keg challenge. From going from saw to roll, traffic. Going from roll to the finish line, traffic. We're back in the city. It was the most distance. It wasn't a good order, but we still got there. We did get lost for a little bit at the end, but we were like, we're all right. And Phil goes, "You're team number 10. I'm like,
he was upset. 10? He was upset.
So it was a tough leg.
But what is crazy about this year is there's no one that's terrible at navigation. So you'll see someone fussing over 2, 5, 10 minutes, but everybody gets there.
Yeah, that last
it's
leg.
Not like in other seasons where it's like an hour and you're still safe. No, it's like Hugh and Maddie got lost last episode, but truthfully, they went to a place that was 10 minutes away from where they were in Germany.
Wow.
So by the time they got back, they probably lost 15, 20 minutes. That's why they were towards the end.
Did you guys think they were going home, Maddie and Q?
I didn't think so. I knew when they had that dance challenge, I was like, oh no, Q, they're going to beast it.
Right?
When I saw Rex and Tim doing the bills for like the 14th or 27th, something absurd, I was like, okay. And then they sent Rich and Dom back to go get the hat. And then I was like, okay, there's enough things going on that I think Quentin and Maddie are probably okay, especially because at that point we knew there was a dance challenge. And just like you guys, they were going to fly right through it. And so I was very pleased that they didn't go home because they are very lovely people.
Yeah, I love them. And just like what we said about that, like we thought we were going to be closer in the first leg and we were 10th. And as we were running up to the mat, we see four teams with Phil.
Wow.
So they were visible. They were close. And it's like, there's no chance for you to mess up in navigation because everyone is good. Everyone studied, you know? So it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough competition.
I want to say we were maybe like 5 or 10 minutes ahead of Aubrey and David, and they beat Austin and Nina by 3 minutes. I feel like a lot of seasons, there's always one team that's at hours behind in the first leg, but not this season. So
I tell Brooke, I'm new to the Amazing Race watching, but one of my theories is that like I'm very happy with how you guys placed first episode, because I always have the theory that like if you do really good in the beginning, then there's such a huge target on your back and there's more of a chance that you'll kind of like fall. But when you kind of start where you guys did, I feel like one, us as the fans can root for you, and you only get better with time, in my opinion. So I'm Team Miami for life. So don't listen.
I'm sweating. Don't let him down.
Don't let me down. Okay.
I love that Michelle's like pressure. Even though I can't change the outcome now. I mean, who knows what happened, but you're stressing her out.
How y'all do, I'm rooting for y'all. But I really do feel like when you do like come in number 10 on the first one, it's, you know, I got to do better. You got to do better. And there's less of like people don't see you as a threat. So I'm Team Miami for life.
And we were so proud. Like the second leg, you know, I told Michelle, like I was not happy after the first leg. I was quiet. I was mad. I feel like I let everyone down.
I actually told them, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was like, every time we get to the end of the map, we're dancing. We're like, we're not last.
And he said 10, I'm like.
Yeah, he was like, and I was like, come on, dance with me. And he's like, okay.
Yeah. And I was in a bad, like, I was in a funk for a while. And thank God for this woman. She got me out of it. She got me out of it. We talked it through. We went back to the hotel. We got our spirits back up. And the next episode, you guys see me in where are we going to go? Like, we're ready. Let's go. Let's go.
You're doing your best Arnold impersonation. We got it. We saw it. It was good.
She knows that, that when I'm in a happier state, I perform better. That's how I am.
Yeah.
And And it was such a great leg. We killed the roadblock, killed the detour. We killed the navigation. I don't care what the end says. And we made it. And we made it to the end. We took 5 spots. And we're so happy right now. And we finished. It's crazy because 5th place doesn't sound great. But from where we started to where we finished that second leg, we were ecstatic. And let's keep it rolling. We'll see.
Anything but last is all that matters. That's what you need to remember. That's long as you get to keep racing.
I get you, Brooke, but I want that first.
I'm with you. I was just as bad when we were done with you. Don't worry.
Arnold's impressive. Oh. By the way, in the car, he was doing Arnold the whole
time. Yeah, the whole time. And I'm like, wait, is Arnold from Austria? I'm not even sure anymore.
No, you had it.
I'm like, oh, no, I hope Arnold's from Austria. If not, I'm going to look like an idiot. You know, I was just the whole time I was Arnold.
Arnold, I'm coming.
I was gonna ask Michelle to yodel us out, but I think I'm just gonna ask Lewis to Arnold us out. I feel like this is great. Thank you for joining us. That was awesome.
Thank you guys so much. We're rooting for you, and this has been our Purple Pants coverage of Amazing Race Season 34, and we Team Miami.
Yes, I love your podcast. Enjoyed it so much. So
yes.
Thanks
so
much. Thanks guys for the support. We love you guys.
Thank you guys.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. And you know, I'm just minding my business. And you know me, I love to listen to different type of podcasts. One of my favorite podcasts that I listen to is the Joe Budden podcast. Another podcast that I listen to is Million Dollars Worth of Game. And shout out to Wendeezy and Joey Hatch for putting me on to this podcast. The podcast Million Dollars Worth of Game is hosted by Gilly the Kid and Wallow, both Philly natives. Some of you may know Gilly the Kid as a rapper and also a ghostwriter to some of the greatest rappers like Lil Wayne. And Wallow is Gilly the Kid's cousin. And Wallow has such an interesting background. At the age of 17, he served 20 years in prison for armed robbery. When he got out of prison, he really turned his life around and became a motivational speaker, became an author. And, you know, Gilly and Wallow started a podcast together, Million Dollars Worth of Game. And in 2002, the two signed a deal with Barstool Sports and Hip Hop Overload. And the deal was said that, you know, it was worth $3 million, and that's a lot of money. And they signed over 50% of their ownership. And at the time, a lot of people were like, oh, that's not a great deal. And, you know, people were big on ownership and owning your rights to different things. And, you know, Barstool has a checkered past. However, Gilly the Kid and Wallow really thought that this was a great partnership for them. And since they signed to Barstool, their podcast has been, you know, chart topping. It's one of the most popular podcasts that is out there. And people really, really love the podcast. They really talk about the hip hop game, the culture. They talk like just as Black men, their perspective on different things. And they really try to empower the urban community and giving different like segments on money management and just different stuff. And so I really enjoy it. On a road trip to Atlanta, Joey and Wendeezy put me onto it, and I was like, you know, I always love listening to different podcasts that have different perspectives than I do, or something that I would never really listen to. So when I listen to Gilly the Kid and Wallow, I always feel like I'm listening in on conversations that I always want to be a part of. And so that's the great thing about podcasts. And so more recently, about a year ago, or maybe 6 months ago, their contract was coming to an end, and they even did like this. They even did this podcast with the owner of Barstool. They came on their podcast and they were talking about like negotiating and what they wanted to do and how they wanted to take their podcast to the next level. And I remember being in the car with Wendell and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if this is if they should be having him on talking like this, because it was a relatively frank conversation. But, you know, we knew that their contract was coming to an end and we didn't know what was going to happen, if they were going to stay with Barstool or if they were going to leave. They really wanted to kind of branch off under the umbrella of Barstool and be able to host other different podcasts. They really had like some good ideas. And over the weekend, news unofficially, but officially, because, you know, if you went Philly, you know, people that know people that know people. And it has been posted that Gilly the Kid and Wallow just renewed their contract with Barstool Sports in an epic $100 million deal. And I just am... That's just so inspiring. And I love the fact that it's two black men from Philly that may not have the best past ever, but they've found a new passion. They're good at something. And, you know, they've brought a lot of money to Barstools. They brought a different clientele. They brought a different viewership to Barstool. And it really shows that, like, you know, stay in your passion, know your worth, know the things in which that you bring. And I just can't be more excited for them, because honestly, like, I see myself in them. And at times I don't know my worth. At times I don't think that, you know, I deserve some of the accolades or different things. And I have people in my life and my corner that are like, no, baby boy, keep on keeping on. And so just to see two brothers from Philly be able to, one, first of all, sign a $3 million podcast deal, that's amazing. But then not only sign that deal, grow it, expand it, and then in their renegotiation, $100 million deal. And I really feel like that $100 million will definitely be spread across Philadelphia and give other black entrepreneurs, other podcasters, artists, authors, just a lot of black media. And if you are from Philly or if you know of Gilly the Kid and Wallow, they always give back to the community. They are really big on putting their own on. And so I just had to make the Freak of the Week, Gilly the Kid and Wallow. We see you out here. It's definitely inspiring and it's motivating to someone like me. And I'm sure to many others that, like, the sky is the limit. And it does not matter what your past is, what you went through. It matters the work ethic that you put in to the work, the passion that you have, and the things that you are doing right now. So congratulations again to Gilly the Kid and Wallow. And if you've never checked out $1 million worth of game, you should check it out. And if Gilly the Kid and Wallow are this week's Freak of the Week, that means we are coming to a close of another amazing episode. I always appreciate and love my Purple Pants posse for always supporting your baby boy like you do. It truly means the world to me. If you could be so kind to make sure, one, that you go over there to my YouTube page, Bryce Isaiah on YouTube, subscribe, check out the videos that I've got for you, and make sure you check out my Team Miami Lewis and Michelle interview. But if you could also be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever it is that you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants podcast awaits for you to subscribe, write a review, give your baby boy some 5 stars, and don't forget to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to keep on going, because
it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.